If the Taliban regime in Afghanistan is defeated, what then? Thomas Gutierrez is Dean of International Studies and Programs at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. He lived in Afghanistan for nearly a decade, and he joins us now. Mr. Gutierrez, if the Taliban were to fall, Afghanistan would then be a nation of many ethnic groups, no unifying leader. What challenges would the U.S. face in trying to ensure or help support the creation of a workable political system?
Well, there would be many challenges, but fortunately for Afghanistan, if there is not a bunch of external interference, particularly the kind which has been seen over the last decade coming from Pakistan and from the Persian Gulf with people like Osama bin Laden and other extremists, there is a traditional proportionally representative form in Afghanistan which is called the Grand National Assembly, or more popularly called their Loi Jirga. And it brings together the leaders from throughout the country to a meeting, at which times they address the crises that face their country. So they've had this occur many times in the past, and there is this pattern. And I think that's what we should be supporting, what we should be looking forward to having in Afghanistan. And it brings with it the possibility that the 88-year-old king, born in 1913, who has been out of power since 1973, might be able to come to Kabul or to Afghanistan to at least initiate or inaugurate such a Grand National Assembly. And that would give it more credibility were he to be able to do that.
Let me ask you some questions specifically about him. You're referring, of course, to Mohammad Zahir Shah, who I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because I might well be, has not been in Afghanistan since the late 70s, expected to help with the creation of something that would be both constitutional and democratic. Tell us a little bit more about him and how realistic it is.
Well, he was a person who was never a very dynamic leader. He was more of a passive leader, but he was an individual who helped to inaugurate in Afghanistan the most progressive period in its history, when that period started in about 1963 and lasted until he was overthrown in a revenge coup by a first cousin and brother-in-law in 1973. But he's the type of person who, in the minds of most Afghans, is seen as an individual who was progressive, who is well liked by broad spectra of the country, and one who enjoys greater popularity, though not unanimous popularity, throughout the country than any other single individual. But we have to remember, he is 88, and He was never one who was what might have been called a dynamic leader. He was, again, a more sometimes reluctant, even passive leader.
Hmm. Where does Pakistan enter the picture? In the fight against terrorism, the U.S. now has an uneasy alliance with a country, riven, of course, over interpretations of what this all means. Do you think that Pakistan and the U.S. really have the same goals for the outcome?
Well, I hope that Pakistan is starting to see that its goals need to be more in line with secular countries from the region and also around the world. Pakistan went through a period where it was trying to theocratize its politics, probably to help it define its own nationhood, which it's had difficulty doing ever since it was partitioned from India. And it was, of course, the primary supporter of the Taliban in advance of its own foreign policy, and it was also the country that brokered Osama bin Laden's return to Afghanistan in 1996. So now it's trying to do a 180-degree turn, and I think that is due primarily to the fact that they recognize they need to re-secularize their country and to get away from this kind of situation, which has really turned into a kind of Frankenstein monster for them.
Right. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Nice to be with you.
Thomas Gutierrez is Dean of International Studies and Programs at the University of Nebraska at Omaha and an expert on Afghanistan.